It's showtime.
Hello, welcome to Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? My name is Jake Scheidel. This is a podcast about reality television and friendship in which I ask my best friend, Tomas Powell, if he did indeed watch a certain reality show. Hey, Tomas, do you like how I'm calling you Tomas now? Is that fun for you?
This is Tomas. I am a host of a podcast that is talking about Survivor Game Changers.
Game Changers. Tomas, you were in Chicago this weekend
for
a bachelor party,
which
I was present for briefly.
Jake made a cameo appearance at the bachelor party.
I was the Cochran of that bachelor party. Because he was in that one episode.
In that I creepily, like, hugged you and was like, and started crying.
You were crying for, like, the rest
and
of the night.
And also that you were my boyfriend. Like, Cochran is Aubrey's boyfriend.
Yeah. When do you think Aubrey found out about her boyfriend and Debbie spending some time on a boat together?
You know, the same time we did, I guess.
You think so? Just like Cam and Eddie in Are You the One, season 5. Okay, before let's start this off right. Hey, Thomas, did you watch Survivor last night? Okay, now we can get into it.
Hell yeah, son.
All right, so this week's episode was called No Good Deed Goes Unpunished, which was a quote from Suri. I didn't find any other episode titles that they could have used because I wasn't really paying attention. Do you think the thought I had watching this episode was, do you think that they intentionally only used quotes that were things from other, like, sayings and, like, already established sayings? That's what I'm trying to say. Do you think that was a conscious effort, or do you think they just, like, did it 3 times and were like, well, I guess we're doing this forever?
I don't know, man.
I have a lot of thoughts about the episode titles of this and every show. So Jeff starts the episode off with a recap of the season and at one point says, hit me up. I don't remember why, but I wrote it down and I think it's important that we talk about that.
Give me a call. Hit me up.
Hit me up. I'll be on my mobile.
You can hit me up on my mobile.
Okay, so we get to camp with the final six, and Sarah tells Suri that she feels betrayed about the advantage, because remember, Suri tried to use that advantage but couldn't. Sarah says that she took out Michaela because she was Suri's right-hand man. She asks Suri who was the supposed rat from her monologue, and she says it was Ty. And then Ty claims that he just found out about the advantage, but does admit that he wanted to take out Sarah. At one point, Jeff said to Ty at the reunion, yeah, we'd love to have you come back a third time, but why? He is not good at this game.
No, I think I've probably, I like Ty, I think I've probably seen enough of him. I kept thinking, like, with Ty, like, he's not a bad player, but the things he's bad at are so glaring. Like, it's like he's good enough to make it close to the end or to the end, but he's never going to win.
No, I don't think so. So Sarah apologizes to Suri, and then Ty says that he wants to use both of his idols to establish trust. Again, why? These are your advantages. You should use them for yourself. So he tells Brad Culpepper about them.
Yeah, that's it. He just does, like, he just does shit like that doesn't make any sense. Like, why would you tell Brad that?
I have no idea. Brad says, if Ty's looking for a home, I can use him as a number. He's lied to me in the past. I have no problem throwing him under the bus. I got a lot of things to say about Brad Culpepper this episode. We'll get into it.
Yeah, he, certainly a wild ride.
Then we get into the immunity / reward challenge. And the reward, of course, is you get to hang out with Channing Tatum and the Toronto Raptors, as we all know.
And then you get to help the community.
Yeah. They all of the Toronto Raptors and Drake, Drizzy Drake, Aubrey Graham are behind the finish line, and it's just like a 50-foot race down the beach, and they're like, whoever can high-five Drake first.
Sorry, I like this new construction of Drake where his real name is Drake and his nicknames are Drizzy Drake and Aubrey Graham.
His given name is Drake Graham. He's related to Drake Bell. And his nickname is Drizzy Drake Aubrey. Where that comes from, no one knows.
Yeah, but. If Drake had ever, you know, moved weight, he could be, you know, Aubrey Grams, like he was moving grams.
Mm-hmm. I get it. That's good. So actually the challenge was they have to run through a big maze and collect 3 bags of puzzle pieces and then solve a puzzle. And unfortunately, Drizzy Drake Aubrey Graham was not there.
He did not make an appearance. Channing Tatum, nowhere to
no
be found.
No Channing Tatum anywhere. Also, the Toronto Raptors were not there.
Nope, not anyone. Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan.
Literally zero of the Toronto Raptors.
Not even PJ Tucker or like Lucas Nwera.
Like, what else were they doing?
Jakob Poeltl wasn't there. Patrick Patterson wasn't there. Bruno Caboclo wasn't even there.
I wonder if any Toronto Raptors have ever played Survivor. We know that some Pistons have.
You know who would be really good at Survivor? I think pretty much anybody on the current Toronto Raptors would be good at Survivor, but mm-hmm. Serge Ibaka would be a very good person to have on Survivor.
I would like to see that. I just want to see basketball players on Survivor. Ooh, Survivor.
New hashtag, Serge on Survivor.
There we go. Okay. I want... Here's a new theme, because next season's theme is... God-awful. New theme, 4 tribes. 1 tribe, 5 basketball players, starting 5. 1 tribe, 5 baseball players. 1 tribe, 5 football players. 1 tribe, 5 hockey players, I guess.
You could do that, or you could do like a nice little mixed bag of other sports.
Mm-hmm.
You could do like a hockey player. You could do like a NASCAR driver.
Ooh, here's a tennis player. Here's a theme.
You could do a golfer.
We, fans versus favorites again. Because they love bringing that theme back. All of the fans, though, professional athletes.
Would be so fucking good.
All of the favorites, winners. They could call the season Survivor. Champs versus Pros.
That'd be great, dude. Challenge beat them to a really good idea.
They did, honestly. There are times when I'm like, wow, Survivor is so much better than the Challenge, and that's like 90% of the time. But then there's that 10% that I'm like, which show has CM Punk? Like,
yeah.
So the reward this week is, or for this challenge, is reward is chicken parm. I don't know why I said the reward is, but it's too late now. I've already addressed it twice. The reward is chicken parm and spaghetti and key lime pie. Brad Culpepper wins immunity. I don't think we need to get into the challenge more than that. So for the reward, he gets to pick one person, and he obviously picks Troy Zan. And then they get to pick one more person, and he picks Sarah. And then on the reward, all 3 of them agree to vote out Aubrey. Then, back at camp, Brad tells Ty that they're voting Aubrey, and he needs to use one of his idols for himself, and then give Bradley Culpepper the other one. Because Brad doesn't want another tribal council to go unexpectedly for him. Remember how we've been talking about how Brad Culpepper is like trying to shed his bad boy image from his first season?
Yeah, this was not a good look for that.
It was all a facade.
This was reminiscent of Spencer in Second Chances doing the like, I'm more socially in tune with people and I care more about people's feelings, and then basically holding Jeremy hostage to vote for him or to vote for Kelly Wentworth and not him.
Yeah.
And completely ruining his chance to win.
He needs a second chance.
And he'll call it Survivor Third Chances.
They really should bring have Survivor third chances. I would love that so much.
It'd be great.
Like, you know, they always talk about...
who would be on that season? Kayla would be on that season.
Kayla would be on that season. Ty would be on that season. Aubrey would be on that season. Debbie would be on that season. Zeke would be on that season. It would be most of the people from this season again.
And it would be hosted by, speaking of Aubrey's, after his two successful appearances, one in that tribal council and one in that reward with the Toronto Raptors, Aubrey Jesse-Drake-Graham.
And all of his co-hosts, all of the Toronto Raptors.
They're all there.
And they, like, they do the commentary of the challenges as, like, a Greek chorus.
They're all just dunking basketballs in the background.
Like, this challenge is great,
like,
but also
Globetrotter shit.
It's just like always in the background of every scene there is a basketball court that they are playing on.
Every challenge is that you must attempt to score a basket against one of the Toronto Raptors.
Whoever gets it first wins. It's like, and then for immunity, it's like you have to go up against two of them. And then for final immunity, it's like you versus five of the Toronto Raptors.
Good luck.
So Ty says, I feel like I've lost control of my destiny, to which Brad Culpepper says, well, maybe you have. It's in my hands now. Brad, fucking chill out, man. We all know you're going to take second place.
He was such a dick.
It was awful.
Ridiculous.
It was absolutely awful. Because I was like, I knew not to trust him and this new image.
There was a while there. I was like, you know, Brad's all right.
No, I knew that this would come out, and I wish it hadn't, but I was not at all surprised that he did. So Type takes Brad and Troy Boy to see his two idols, and then he also shows Aubrey, and he tells her that he told Brad, and then Ceree joins them and tells him that they have to vote out Sarah or Troy Boy. So now Ty doesn't know what to do at Tribal Council. Ay, ay, ay. And what a tribal council it was.
At Tribal Council. No, this was one of the craziest tribal councils.
Ever.
This might be the craziest tribal we've had since...
since they had those two tribes go to tribal council at the same time.
No, probably the one in Second Chances where nobody... Like, none of the votes counted. Because Kelly and Jeremy both played idols.
Yeah.
All of the votes were for them. So then it turned into they were the only ones that couldn't be voted out and everyone else.
Yeah, and
they had to
draw rocks, right?
And then, yeah, well, no, they didn't even draw rocks. That was so deadlocked that eventually it was between Kimmy and Keith.
Oh,
and
okay,
they
yeah.
Eventually decided that Kimmy would go.
I was confusing it with the one. I think it was last season where Jessica ended up having to go because she pulled the rock. And they played like two or three idols. You remember that one?
Yeah, that one was pretty fucking crazy too. This was nuts.
This was
so
unprecedented.
Let's get into it.
Yeah. So Sarah says that everybody is mad at Ty because he doesn't take responsibility for his lies. Troy Boy says that he is 90% sure Ty cannot recover from this. Brad says, buyer beware if you do a deal with Ty. Aubrey says that she's going to keep the faith tonight. So then everybody goes to vote, and then Jeff comes back and says, if anyone has a hidden immunity idol and wants to play it, now would be the time to do so. At which point Ty stands up, finally, and says, I have this red idol, which I will play for myself. Then, I also have this blue idol, which I will play for Aubrey. And then Drake pops in and is like, "All right, I'm not gonna get voted out,
guys. I couldn't make it for the reward challenge, but I'm here now.
Thanks so much.
And look who I brought with me, all of the Toronto Raptors.
Feel free to vote for any of them; they are dispensable.
Yeah, you can get rid of them. Corey Joseph doesn't mean nothing to me.
Oh man, you know what? I was just thinking, they should give these people numbers, like jersey numbers."
Oh my god, that would be incredible.
So you can retire their numbers. Like, retire Ceree's number,
much.
Retire Boston Rob's number.
Where would they hang them? Where would they hang the banners, though? Like, where would
they would be little badges on Jeff Probst's shirt.
Oh my god, yes.
Like, number 12, that's for Ceree.
In Jeff's Survivor dress uniform.
Yeah.
And then he comes out at the end and salutes everyone. No, they all salute him.
They would put them up in tribal council. This is a great idea. Man, where was I 17 years ago?
Why do we not work for Survivor?
Honestly. That's what I want to know. Honestly.
We have all these good ideas.
Have we told you about how we want to do Survivor for dogs?
They're just scared of our big ideas.
Yeah. So Ty sits down. He's not. Ty, Aubrey, and Brad are all immune. Then Sarah stands up and plays her legacy advantage. And then Troy Boy stands up and plays his idol, which means now five of the six people are immune, which means Suri, who got zero votes,
no one voted for Suri.
She was supposed to win. Everyone agreed she was supposed to win this one.
I didn't feel bad about picking her to win because it was like, well, I mean, it was the most extenuating circumstances anyone has ever had to get voted out. It's the only time anyone has ever been voted out with no one voting for them.
I wonder what they would have done.
It would have been great. It would have been great if they had made them re-vote still.
Yeah.
You'd just been like, Suri, Suri, Suri.
Suri, what did you do to piss everyone off?
Okay, Suri, Suri, whatever, Suri, Suri.
I wonder what they would have done if Suri also had played an idol.
I don't know.
It's just like, I guess no one goes home this
We're
week.
We're doing another immunity challenge.
It's a fight. Do you think they would immediately go into a fire building competition? Or do you think they would... Well,
between who, though?
Between everyone. Or do you think that they would just be like, so alright, we're voting out two people.
They might have just drawn rocks then, but...
Okay, yeah, I guess that's a good point.
But if they did a fire building competition between everyone were the last person to make fire, the last person who couldn't make fire or whatever is right. out, that would be awesome.
I would hope it would be like the entire 2-hour episode. That'd be so good. Man, there's a... the idols, there's going to be some serious shit next season, because I read some interview with Jeff Probst where he was like, here's all the different types of ways we're going to hide idols this year, and you may see them, you may not, it depends on how far down the list we go, and it doesn't seem like we got very far down the list, so...
Nice.
It's going to be some crazy shit happening next season, hopefully. So Suri's out. If no idols had been played, then Sarah would have been out.
That's crazy. That is crazy too.
Yeah.
That by playing idols, Sarah's the one that got saved.
Yeah.
Although she would have, I mean, she wouldn't have been though, because she would have automatically played.
Yeah, she had the legacy advantage, but
she had to literally had to use it.
Had she not had that? If Sierra had given it to Brad or Troy, she would have been out this week. Oh, man.
So that was, her whole game hinged on...
Really, this tribal council...
Sierra out and also being able to get the legacy advantage from her.
Yeah, good move. This tribal council really was a game changer.
It was absolutely a game changer. The game has been changed.
So then we go straight into another immunity challenge. So they have to move a ball on some paddles through an obstacle course three times. They've done this challenge.
Cool.
They've done this challenge so many times. It's a really cool challenge. It's cool when they do
ball challenges are always very cool because they again you'll notice I keep referencing Second Chances because I watched a bunch of episodes of it again by happenstance recently.
Yeah.
The one that they did where they had to keep, you know, it was like a track that you had to put a ball down on.
Yeah.
And you had to catch it. And then after a certain period of time, you had to put a second ball in. And
oh,
then you had a third ball in.
That was really cool.
Going. Yeah, where it's like, just mentally, that would be so much strain.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I forgot about that challenge. They should really bring that one back.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I saw that and I was like, why have they not done this one again? I love that one so much.
There's
so much. It's the perfect one to do at that point, too. Like, that is the perfect one to do at the end.
There's so much that you have to do, just mentally. Like, you have to think, I guess it's all based on timing, but yeah. I mean, man, that's got to be one of the coolest challenges they've ever done. Bring it back, Jeff. I know you listen to this. So yeah, they do this ball thing, and it's cool. And Brad wins. Good job. And then he says, I think I'm really close to taking the belt, as in the championship belt. He wants to be a champ on Champs versus Pros. What team would he be on, though? If he
would be on Pros. Oh, that's true.
If he did happen to win this or his last season, what team would he have been on? I guess it's the same problem that The Miz has with the Challenge Champs versus Pros.
He is both.
Yeah. He is on his own team.
It's a real chicken or the egg question, you know?
I guess it would be the egg.
Yeah, but where did the egg come from?
The football.
Okay. Jake has finally answered this question that has stumped people for centuries.
It's the football. Why has nobody ever answered that question before? So Aubrey wants to take out Troyzan. Sarah, though, isn't sure if she can trust Ty. Ty wants to take out Aubrey. So who's going home? Brad wants to take out Aubrey and tells Ty that he has to vote with him from here on out. So now Ty wants Troyzan out. Okay, Ty. I don't understand how he is always the deciding vote. Like, every tribal council, it's like, what's Ty gonna do, though? It's the Ty show, where Ty talks about his favorite neckties.
He's the deciding vote because he,
can't decide.
He never has any clear thing he's gonna do, so he eventually just falls in line at the last moment with somebody.
Yeah, that's true. So at Tribal Council, Aubrey brings up how close Brad and Troyzan are. Jeff asks if anyone thinks they can beat anyone else in the game. And Troyzan is the only one to say yes, and then Aubrey is voted out.
It was a bummer, but she, you know, I mean, she played a really good game. She just ended up in a situation where she was in a no-win situation. But also, I thought it was incredibly stupid.
Literally, yeah, she's never won, has she?
Yeah, god damn it. Ty voted for her in the end. I don't know why.
Because she was a threat.
But then why would you even... I shouldn't even really try to put too much thought into what Ty's doing in late-game scenarios, because I don't think he's really even sure what he's doing.
I think you're right about that.
But I thought she had a nice exit. It was nice to see her be like, I'm very excited to be on the jury. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, she wasn't the first time around. So they go right back into Final Immunity Challenge. They have to go down a big water slide and then also do some other shit, and Brad Culpepper wins again.
He's tied the record, 5 immunity wins.
Mm-hmm. Which Ozzy has also done, which Jeff Probst, you know, has told us many times this episode. You know who else did it? Ozzy. He's right over there. He's sitting with the Toronto Raptors.
Did anyone else?
A handful of other people, they kept telling us. Who those people are, I don't know.
Wouldn't tell us who it was.
Probably, like, Tyson.
Did Joe do it?
Yeah, he just wanted it so bad, you know? I don't know.
Joe might have done it.
Yeah.
Joe might have done it on second chances. He won, like, a ton of them in a row.
I don't know if he got to 5, and also, I don't really care. Like, that's impressive and everything, but, I mean, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I gave literally no thought to this record. I didn't even know it was a record until this episode.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably Boston Rob in one of his seasons. Because it's single season, not, like, overall, obviously. Yeah, I wonder who has it overall, because I'm sure probably Ozzy or Rob.
Probably Ozzy, because he's played a lot, and he has tied that record. So.
He holds the record for most days played. 128. Siri only has 121. That's a long time. That's more than a third of a year.
Well, you get that many cracks at it.
Yeah. They should really do a 100-day Survivor.
No. People would die if they did a 100-day Survivor.
Fine. Suri never died. Ozzy never died.
Yeah, but they spaced it out. They weren't doing it for 120 straight days. Ozzy would not die. I can tell you that much. Suri might.
Yeah. So Brad says, I'm clearly in control of this game. And then he says, it comes down to who stabbed me in the back most. And then Ty realizes that it's him or Sarah and suggests that they force a tie,
if you will.
I said it like that because in my notes I wrote force a tie, T-A-I. Didn't even realize I had done that until right now. So Tribal Council, Ty brings up forcing a tie. I did it again. Wow, that's weird. I guess it's not that strange. Anyway, Ty brings up forcing a tie and having to build a fire. But here's what I'm thinking. Would they build a fire? If it's tied, you know, at the beginning of the season, Jeff was like, hey, instead of like going to do a revote, the people who are tied are immune now. So would that still be the case in the Final Four? Or do you think they would go straight to the fire building competition?
I don't know.
That's what I was thinking the whole time they were talking about it, but excuse me. I don't know. I guess it doesn't matter because they all vote and Ty gets voted out. He gets 3 votes. Troy Zane gets 1 vote. And then they go back to camp.
Just real quick, going back to, I was just thinking about this. If you did a 100-day Survivor,
yeah,
would that mean that you would still do the same pace of eliminations? You would just have like 100 people.
That would be fantastic.
That would be so insane. It would be just a disaster. The first,
yeah,
like the first 70 days of it would be a fucking disaster.
Yeah,
like trying to get 100 people to coherently vote other people out.
Just have 10 tribes of 10 people, and then, you know, rearrange as necessary.
That's incredibly stupid. It would be.
I think it's a great idea, Jeff. This is the second great idea I've had this episode. How many great ideas did you have in your last episode? 0? That's what it seems like. So they go back to camp. Day 39. Troy Zane says that this has been a dream of his since episode 1 of Survivor Borneo 16 years ago. Sarah says, I'm the criminal tonight and the jury is the police officer. Survivor. Cops versus what criminals.
That's not the... That's such a mixed metaphor, too. That's not how that works.
Sarah's a cop. I think she knows. So then Brad says, I don't need the money, but I desperately want to win. Great. Great stuff, Brad.
Which is another... Yeah, that's another, like, really great thing to be like... Like, Brad Culpepper's a fucking millionaire. He does not need that money.
Really, the question is, who wants to be a millionaire? That's what they have to ask themselves.
Brad Culpepper, so you want to be a mill guy.
So, you want to be a mill guy. So, what's your name?
Hello, Brad Culpepper. What's your name?
I heard you're married to Monica Culpepper. Is that true?
Yeah, Monica and I, both played Survivor.
I didn't ask if you played Survivor before. I asked if Monica Culpepper played Survivor before and if you were married to her.
Monica and I were on Blood versus Water.
I didn't ask you about Blood versus Water. If you want to be a mill guy, you have to answer my questions directly.
Also, by the way, as much as I like, what was so you want to be? Was his name first last? What was his name?
No, his name was not first last. His name was A Guy.
A Guy. As much as I like a visit from A Guy, one thing that I think is kind of funny on Blood versus Water is that you would have a married couple because not blood relatives.
Well, they had like people who were dating also, so they're even less
not blood
related.
Relatives.
Yep.
I think that's bullshit.
Here's my idea for Blood versus Water 3. This is my third great idea. They get to the beach. 20 random people. They get to the beach. Jeff comes up to each of them and slits their palm open and says, turn to the person next to you and shake hands. Now you're blood brothers.
I guess now that I think about it, the water in that equation would probably be the people that aren't blood relatives, right?
The people that aren't blood relatives?
Yeah, like the married couples or the
people
that are dating.
The blood is the people you're related to or familiar with. And the water
is the
opponents.
The water in this equation?
The water is your opponents.
Who are you? Wait, who are their opponents?
The other people in the game.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sure.
Was that not obvious?
I don't know. You know, maybe before I was like, oh, if you split tribes up, it's like the people that are blood relatives and the people that are just like married to each other or whatever.
Did you watch Blood vs. Water 2?
No, I didn't.
It's a good twist. It's probably one of the greatest themes they've done, I should say. Do you want to talk about the wildlife shots before we get into the final Tribal Council of the season?
Yeah, hit me with your best wildlife shot.
We got, as usual, a snake. As usual, a heron. As usual, an iguana, a shark, and it wouldn't be a season of Fiji if the finale didn't have a shot of Roland the Bat.
Hell yeah. My boy.
But guess what? That's not all the wildlife shots from this week. We also got a couple wildlife shots from the challenge. One, a seagull. Two, a dachshund puppy. Do you want me to tell you about this puppy?
It's a dachshund.
What? A dachshund?
Yeah. Dachshund.
I have been pronouncing this dog name incorrectly my entire life. A dachshund. Why is it spelled like dachshund?
It's like D-A-C. The doc is the D-A-C part.
Doc. Sund.
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 It's a German word, I believe.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Anyway, they're short-legged and long-bodied, like the cake song.
I want a dog with some short legs and
a long body.
I need to make a parody of that song now that's about, like, dachshunds and corgis and...
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yes, good. They were developed to flush out badgers and other burrowing animals. Also, I think it's weird how you can develop a dog. Their front paws are paddle-shaped for digging. And here's a little fun fact about the dachshund. H.L. Mencken, you know him? He wrote about some shit way back when. He once said that they are half a dog high and a dog and a half long.
That's pretty good.
That's my favorite description of anything ever. At Final Tribal Council, Jeff says, this is Game Changers. So we're going to focus on the three aspects of this game and have a Q&A. I don't know why they had to do this twist. It seemed...
No, I don't like it. It was worse. It made the jury worse.
Yeah. It's like...
One of the appealing things of the jury is that everyone gets their own time.
And, like, people have these really awesome speeches. Like, look back to, Sarah... What was her name? Susan?
Was that the Snakes and Rats
thing? Yeah, from season one. Like, you're just gonna take that away? Is everyone...
No, this was a misstep. I don't know what they thought they were doing with this.
Yeah, and they were like, you'll have to explain how you outwitted... How you outplayed, and how you outlasted. Well, I outlasted because I'm here on day 39.
Yeah.
And these people aren't. I don't know. Hopefully they...
I thought there were some nice moments in the jury, but yeah, this was disappointing.
Yeah, but do you... Maybe... I can understand wanting to have, like, a back and forth between other jury members when somebody brings something up. But why not have the people come up, give their speech, ask their question, and then... open the floor to the rest of the jury to respond.
Yeah, you could do it that way. That'd be way better.
Yeah. Well, I think they just wanted to change the game. And, you know, sometimes change is hard. Thanks, yeah. Obama.
So, who did you like on the jury?
I like the people on the jury who I liked in the game. So, like, Andrea,
yeah.
Michaela, Ceri,
I guess.
Michaela's
great.
Michaela killed it. So Zeke.
She owned Brad so far.
Oh, yeah. I think she. I think she did good. Zeke goes first, congratulates Sarah. Ozzy says he can't trust Sarah and respects Brad winning as many immunities as he had to.
This makes perfect sense. There was the two people where it's like, well, I'm going to pick the person whose gameplay style is most similar to mine.
I didn't like Ozzy being like all self-congratulatory in this.
Yeah, it literally was like, oh, Brad won a bunch of immunities and that's the best way to play. I've never made it to the final three.
Yeah, he was like... I know how hard it is to do what you've done, which a lot of the people here won't understand. It's like, but, like, you're on the jury, dude.
Yeah, and he's literally never been in the final three, right?
I would have to go back and check, but I don't think so. I think his highest is probably, like, four or five. I don't know. I don't know why people love him so much. I don't remember his first season.
I think he's a fun early game guy. It's fun to watch him go around and like fish and do crazy outdoorsy shit.
I think he.
But once it gets into more, once there's the herd gets thinned a little bit,
yeah,
and it gets down to more individually focused stuff, he's just not as interesting. Like his social game isn't there. So mm-hmm.
He seemed very much not interested in this game when he was there. Did you get that feeling?
Yeah.
He's just like, I'm here again. Which maybe that's just his persona is like very low-key and low energy, but like, yeah, he just didn't seem to be enjoying himself or playing as hard as everyone else.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of intensity to what he was doing.
Yeah. Brad is asked about Sierra being the brains of the operation, and he brings up the Malcolm vote, which, I don't know, Brad, about that. And then Michaela comes through and asks Brad what he knows about her, and he kind of stammers.
He was saying that he was, like, getting to know people, right? Like, he's like, I still develop my social game. And she was like, yeah, okay, what do you know about me?
And he's like,
two things.
You're from Texas, and you went to... Yeah.
And you work for a company that sells vacations or something like that. And that was, like, all he could come up with.
Yeah.
I also liked her being, like, and I get why he voted me off, because I was the one person that could beat Brad, but
mm-hmm.
thought that was cool. I really liked, I thought Ty did a really good job of expressing Ty's good for stuff like this, for expressing his frustrations mm-hmm. with Brad. Like, he was just being like, I don't think you understand how you talk to me. Like,
yeah.
And, like, how out of line and rude and condescending you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was a good moment. And I don't know, did you watch the reunion at all?
No.
Oh, they kind of had they continued to talk about that, the two of them, at the reunion. And he gave, like, a seemingly genuine apology, which is nice, but, yeah.
Middle manager Brad Colbert. It was so funny to see him go from, like, Alpha Island Brad to, like, wearing a short-sleeve shirt with it, or, like, button-up short-sleeve with a tie, Brad.
And like, a mustache from the 90s. Yeah. Like, the mustache my dad had in the 90s.
Yeah, he looked like he was, like, a background guy from Office Space.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody calls Troy Zan a passenger. And then Sarah says that she played the best game because she paid attention to the details. And then she brought up the advantage that Michaela missed again, which was very hard for me to watch.
No, it was. And Michaela, I thought, had a really good point with that, where she was like, she was bold enough to get an advantage that was meant for me and then used that advantage to vote me out.
Yes, yes.
Like, that's really badass.
That's very good. So Brad's closing argument is that he was just himself, you know? And then Sarah says, in her closing argument, in this game, you have to strike first. And then Troy Boy is like, hey, I feel like I know how you guys are going to vote. I just want to thank everybody for being here with me in this experience. And it was like a real genuine thing. And it was real nice.
His was really nice. His was really nice. I honestly wish he would have gotten like one vote just for that.
I honestly would have voted for him after that.
No, it was so nice. He was like, this is just what I've wanted to do, and, you know, like, I like that he was like, you know what, I'm here. Like, yeah. That's an argument to be made for those kind of people. It's like, you know what, I made it here.
Yeah. It's like, yeah.
You can question how I did it, but if I was really as big a passenger as you think I am, like, you know, like, I still had to do stuff to make it to the final three. Like, you'd be here if I, you know.
Yeah.
if you could have done it.
Mm-hmm. So Jeff goes, reads the votes, does not get on a jet ski.
I hate it so much.
It's like,
get him getting on a jet ski to leave and coming back on the... Change the game back to when the stupid thing where Jeff would get on the jet ski to leave.
I'm sorry. Like the Jeff ski.
The Jeff ski. He would get on the Jeff ski. It'd be great if it said Jeff ski on it and had a large picture of his face.
Another great idea from Did You Watch Survivor?
He leaves, and then he comes back wearing the same outfit, pretending as though he is just now coming back.
I don't know why they ever stopped doing that.
It's amazing! Like, people made fun of it, but it's like, they made fun of it because we love it.
Yeah. It's the same reason people make fun of Twin Peaks, because we just love it so much.
I love it so much. Like, I want it back.
Yeah. Another way they changed the game for the worse in this finale.
Unbelievable.
So, Jeff reads the votes. Sarah wins. She gets 7 votes. Brad gets 3 votes, and Troy gets 0 votes, which is fine.
0 votes. Yeah, whatever.
And then you said you didn't watch the reunion.
No, I didn't. I probably will at some point, because I wanted to see what how they addressed the Varner-Zeke stuff. I figured they'd probably go into that.
Yeah, they do. Varner is gross and makes it about him more so than he should have. And then, like, shills this book that he's writing, which was gross. But we don't have to talk about that anymore.
Maybe I won't watch it then.
Yeah. I think the most important thing, at least for the game, that happened at the reunion, Jeff asks Brad if he had brought Ty to the final three rather than Sarah, who would have voted for Ty and who would have voted for Brad. And the jury raised their hands for each, and it would have been 5-5.
Wow.
So Jeff reveals that, you know, they've never had a tie, and people always ask, what would happen if you had a tie?
Never had a tie.
True.
But they have. He's been in the
final three. He has been in the final three. And Jeff's saying, like, oh, people always ask what would happen if we had a tie in the final three, and it's the person who is not involved in the tie casts the vote for the winner.
Wow.
Yeah. So they ask Troy who he would have voted for. Guess who he would have voted for?
Brad.
Yeah. So then they all made fun of Brad for making a mistake. Jeff was like, see, you played a winnable game. You just made one awful mistake at the very end. And Brad was like, okay.
No, Brad was destined to finish in second, just like his wife, Monica Culpepper.
Oh my god, Monica Culpepper, his wife.
Second place,
Culpeppers.
Also, by the way, one thing, because we pointed this out, I probably wouldn't have noticed this otherwise, but when he was reading the votes, Jeff, even if they said the votes said Brad, because like two of them said Culpepper, and he's like, Culpepper. But there was one of them that said Brad, and he still read it as Culpepper.
Yeah.
He loves that boy. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, man. And
Jeff was like, Brad, oh, you meant Culpepper.
I've never seen him act... Like, he's not the first professional athlete to be on the show. But he is the only one that gives Jeff as big a boner as he does.
I also want to know who wrote number 77 with his.
You'll have to watch the... I don't remember. It might have been during the reunion, but they showed everybody's vote.
Oh. Because my first instinct was Zeke, but Zeke wasn't going to vote for him. Because I was like, well, Zeke probably would have known what number
who
he
voted
was,
for
he's a big
football
him.
Fan. It was Sierra, Debbie, and Ozzy. I think it was Debbie who wrote the number.
Okay.
I was hoping to get through the episode without mentioning her name, but... Eh. What you gonna do? Do you want to get into...
I get why Sierra would vote for Brad, but at the same time, like, I think if I were her, I would have voted for Sarah, just because it'd be like, man, well played.
Yeah, seriously. Do you want to get into final points? You did real well.
Let's get into points.
So Brad Culpepper won all the immunities, so you get 3 points for that. He also took second place, so 2 points for that.
Oh, Andy also... He also won a reward.
Yep, so you got another point for that.
I got a point for that.
Troyzan took third, so you got a point for that somehow.
I'm throwaway. So glad that I switched. I was like, you know what? No, Troyzan.
So you ended up with 36 points.
It's funny that I picked the 2 and 3 right, but the winner I did not pick. Like, it's very rare that that would ever happen.
I just got 2 points because Brad took second place, so I ended up with 20 points. Congratulations, you won.
How many did I have? What was my final total?
36.
I almost lapped you.
Yeah. Good job.
Oh man.
You know what you win?
Accolades.
A trip to Toronto to see all of the Raptors and Drizzy Drake Graham.
All of my friends. He knows I've been talking about him.
So next season is starting this fall, probably in September or something. Heroes versus healers versus hustlers, or as I think from now on we should refer to it,
Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Or just Triple H.
No, I'm going to call it Survivor Hunter Hearst.
Yeah, I'm going to call it Triple H, because that's a lot easier to say. I really hope that each...
Survivor Ripple H, or Survivor H.
Survivor H. Third person voted out. Survivor H. Ellie. I don't know all the people's names on this season yet. So that's happening. In the meantime, though, we're going to keep talking about this challenge, and then... Once this challenge is over, some other stuff. So let's talk about this challenge right here real quick. This episode, Settling the Scores. Good title. Bad title? Fine title.
Fine title.
I think so. CM Punk and Sean Merriman apparently have a beef from real life.
Yeah, it was funny. I had kind of forgotten about this, but they had Sean Merriman in the Performance Center for a little while in WWE because I guess he was, after he was done with... football, he was interested in becoming a professional wrestler. So I think he trained a little bit there. I don't know that they ever really went through with it, obviously, because he's not doing that. But because I think he does like some broadcasting work. So I think he went with that, which is probably smarter. It's gonna be less wear and tear on your body that already has a ton of wear and tear on it. But
there was an incident where
he was strutting around the pool and trying to hit on all the divas, and he struck out with all.
Yeah,
of them.
And Punk
was funny, so he
Punk made fun of him on Twitter, and then it's been back and forth since then. Then they get into the challenge, which is being wrapped in plastic. Second Twin Peaks reference of today's episode, and then they roll through some hot dog toppings. It's a lot of fun. CM Punk volunteers to be captain for the pros team because he's from Chicago. I mean, sure.
They know about hot dogs there.
They do. We do. That's my city, you know? It's where I live.
Dude, Chicago-style hot dogs are the best hot dogs.
Oh, yeah?
They are.
Did you get a hot dog while you were here this weekend?
No, I didn't, but...
Missed out.
I got the deep dish pizza. Come on.
Well, you got one staple. If you get a hot dog, you'll need... I mean, you'll have that staple.
Like, I'm sure they're probably a little bit better in Chicago, but like it's a pretty fucking simple. Like it's not hard to replicate
a hot dog
elsewhere.
Yeah, but it's like the spirit of the hot dog.
Yeah,
you know,
you've got the bun. You got the bun with the sesame seeds on it. You've got an all beef dog. You've got a pickle spear. You've got a little bit of tomato.
But here's
celery
salt. Okay, listen to me, Thomas. It's not about
whatever kind of peppers are on there.
Listen to me, okay. It's not about the toppings. Ugh,
this is the most bullshit.
It's not
like,
about the
people
toppings.
That write, those like asshole Brooklyn people that like travel around and they're like, this wasn't like Brooklyn at all. Or they're like, this was obviously trying to copy Brooklyn.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never been to New York. The fun of Chicago style hot dog is going there at 3 a.m. when you're super drunk and just ordering a hot dog and hanging out with your bros, okay? It's not about the toppings.
What that you can do that here, though?
No, because it's all about the toppings here.
Okay. This is very similar to your Sarah is going to lose and make it to the final three.
And I think she did. I think she did both of those things.
Yep.
All right, so Jordan's the captain for the champs for this hot dog challenge. CM Punk and Donald Bananas getting a shouting match, which is very fun. And then Victor Cruz tells them to cool their jets. He's like, hey, Benny, hey, Johnny, hey, CM Punk, your jets, cool them. That was an attempt at a joke that...
And Victor Cruz knows something about cooling off the jets, because he played for the New York Football Giants. They had to play the Jets probably once or twice.
I would say a couple times, yeah. So the champs win. No, the champs... Yeah, the champs win, which means CM Punk from the pros team is up for elimination. I got confused there because I thought, well, CM Punk is a champion.
I can't believe you didn't mention Johnny's incredible burn that he had.
Well, I forgot it.
He tries to act like his name, you know, as in, like, trying to punk Johnny Bananas.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
That's what he meant by that. But he goes, he should change his name to CM Bitch. And I was like, oh, clever. And then he goes, because that's all he does. And I was like, eh, it's a little better, but still not good.
I thought Johnny Bananas called him CM Bitch. Either way, it's dumb. And
yeah, it's dumb.
Should never be said in real life or on TV. So Jordan nominates Wes for elimination for their team. Wes says that he wants to go up against Jonald, so they all vote Jonald Bananas in. Apparently, great. They have never faced each other in an elimination.
That's insane that that hasn't happened yet.
And I was thinking about that, and I realized, like, oh, because they're always the two masterminds in any challenge they're both in.
Makes sense.
So they're
yeah.
always throwing other people into the elimination, like from, you know, either alliance. So it makes sense that they've never faced each other in elimination, but this time they are.
Usually by the time that they're getting thrown into eliminations, too, one or the other is gone.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, no, this was, I thought that was really neat from Wes. I was talking to, I might have already talked to you about this, but, like, I don't like Wes. Like, I wouldn't really hang out with him, mm-hmm. but, like, I enjoy him. I've come to enjoy him as a character.
Yeah, I didn't like him when I first started watching the show. I thought he was, like, smarmy and annoying, but, like, having seen him play several seasons now and seen how well he does in these games and the fact that his number one enemy is also my number one enemy.
That's what it comes down to, I think, is, like, his hatred of Johnny Bananas, like, I can only... The enemy of my enemy is in some ways my friend.
Yes.
Like, I have to... I'm always gonna side with him over Johnny
yeah,
Bananas.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's just, like, a legitimately smart person. I also like that he isn't on every single season.
That's also good, too.
Because if he was on every season, I would probably get tired of him, as I have with Jonald, but...
Yeah, but I loved this move, because it was like, we're on Champs versus Pros. This isn't normal. I loved him, because they didn't know to vote, and just immediately being like, put in Johnny.
Yeah.
Give him to me.
Yeah. So for the pros, Sean Merriman is nominated. And then I found an article on Bleacher Report where Sean Merriman told them that he would demolish Punk in the most painful way possible. So that's fun.
The thing with that is they're never gonna give him that challenge. They're not gonna give. They
right.
have to give people challenges that are relatively even for who they are. Like, they can't just be like, we're gonna have a competition to see who can tackle the other person the best.
We're gonna give each of you a microphone and see who can drop a pipe bomb. Vintage yeah. CM Punk.
This challenge that we got ruled, though.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's one of my favorites they've ever done. Also, there's a scene where everybody goes to the park, and Lolo gets really mad at Lindsay Jacob Ellis because of how they're playing flag football.
For no real reason.
Apparently...
Yeah, Lolo kind of sucks.
Apparently, according to Lolo Jones' Twitter, Lindsay got mad at her and, like, lashed out at her, but they edited that out of the episode. But I don't know.
Still, I don't...
Yeah.
Lolo is, like, weird and intense and, like...
What? Yeah, this isn't a camping competition. I'm gonna... I'll see myself out.
Yeah, yeah.
So, let's get into this elimination. Words are hard, you know? This elimination, so they're blindfolded and have to strike their opponent with, like, a sword kind of thing and break the sword over their body.
Yeah, it's like a, trying to think of what I would compare it to the most.
A sword fight?
Well, it's like it's I think it's like a plastic sort of thing, but it breaks off if you hit someone hard enough with it, which is how they can prove or whatever that you hit them.
Right. So each person also gets a collar. Punk picks Louise Hazel because she is British and has the most distinct voice. And
because Louise is cool.
And because she's cool. Yep. And then Sean picks Darrell, who's on the other team. So I don't really understand that, but whatever. Sean wins the first point, and then Punk wins a point, and then the third point goes to CM Punk, the Cult of Personality.
Yep, and it was his choice of Louise was justified, because she pointed out to him before that one that Sean is left-handed, which he hadn't noticed, and so he strategized according to that, and he got him.
Yeah, very smart. And then the champs go, Wes picks, I think it was CT.
Yes, he picks CT.
And then John also picked...
Also picks Darrell.
Why? And then he gave some dumb speech about why he was picking Darrell. He's like, Sean and I have the same taste in whatever, and also callers. Like, what are you...
In enemies, so also, yeah, like, coaches or whatever. It's oh, yeah. Stupid. It's a thing that Johnny said, so it's dumb.
Yep. I'm going to start calling him CM, bitch.
Oh.
How do you like it?
JB bitch.
JB bitch. Jonald gets the first point, and then Wes gets one, and then the final point goes to Wes.
Wesley.
You know what? I was going to say it reminds me of the scene from Princess Bride, where the man in black is fighting Inigo Montoya on that cliff. Because he's left-handed, right? Or not left-handed. Yeah. And fucking Wesley in both.
It's the same thing.
It's the exact same thing.
No, this was good. It was fun to see the difference in, like, athleticism for the two eliminations between, you know, like a huge... But still, I mean, he's a linebacker. You gotta be mobile to be a linebacker. Yeah. Like, a huge guy like that. And somebody like Punk who's been... He's in really good
jumping
shape.
Off the top ropes.
Well, he was in good shape for wrestling, but he's in even better shape now because he had to shed some weight to be quicker for MMA. So, like, and, like, even for someone like Punk who, you know, I mean, this isn't obviously going to be an issue going in, and it's really hamstrung and probably will hamstring his MMA career. He's just not quite good enough an athlete. You have to be a really good athlete to be competitive at the top level. Mm-hmm. But even then, he's really athletic. Like, he's still a good athlete. And you saw, like, the first time that they went after it, he immediately does, like, a combat roll, like, really gracefully and goes and tries to hit him. Like, stuff like that, whereas it just looked like Wes and Bananas, who aren't even, like, Bananas is a better athlete than Wes, but they're not, like, they're in shape. They're not bad athletes. Yeah. But they just kind of, like, stumbled around. Like,
yeah.
It was very, it just looked like they were drunk.
Yeah, generally they are on that show. So that's the challenge, Champs vs. Pros. We're going to talk about that until it's over.
Very good. More like Louise Basil. Because
she's your bae.
Because Louise is bae.
And also she loves to put basil on her food.
Let's get Louise on Survivor.
Louise on Survivor, new hashtag.
Well, we already did... We already did Surge on Survivor, but the next one, once we get tired of that, will be Louise Basil on Survivor. She would be a really fun Survivor player, though. She would be. She would be incredible.
She's athletic. She seems to be smart. She seems to be good in front of a camera. Like, she's entertaining.
Yeah, she seems like she's got some killer instinct. The Lolo Jones. I think the thing that really cemented it was the Limes thing.
Yeah,
Lolo.
Yeah. Very good. So,
which also, it was funny, at the time I was like, oh, she's probably just annoyed by Lolo, but I forgot that she's also a track and field. She's a, you know, does heptathlons or whatever.
Yeah.
So it was probably like, I'm sure she's been at events with Lolo before.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody, well, maybe not everybody knows everybody, but like, I'm sure the snowboarders know each other. I'm sure the surfers know each other.
Yeah.
Punk and Sean know and obviously know each other.
I think her and Lolo were both Olympians, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody at the X Games probably knows each other. Yeah. Good stuff. Good season. Best season ever.
Yes. No, this is really good. Yeah. Like, I'll be very disappointed if they don't do it again.
I don't know if they will. Because it's, I think it's just like a one-off thing. But I guess we'll see.
It shouldn't be.
Maybe every summer they do this kind of thing. That would be fun.
Be great.
Yeah. So hashtag Serge on Survivor. Gotta get Serge Ibaka.
Hashtag do two hashtags with this. Hashtag Serge Serge, like Serge Ibaka on Survivor, mm-hmm. and then hashtag Serge Surge on Survivor. So for one of the reward is Serge.
Okay. Jeff?
That or anything that they would ever have for coffee or whatever, you know, like sometimes they'll have it. It's like, we'll give you something to make coffee. It's like, we'll give you a 12-pack of Surge.
Be sure to share. All right. Surge and Surge. Oh.
Surge squared.
Here's, I got a show idea. It's a Surge-sponsored talk show with Serge Ibaka. That's as far as I've gotten so far in this idea. You can follow us on Twitter. Follow all our Serge Ibaka campaign tweets at DYWSLN. Oh yeah.
Okay, this show that you mentioned is called Surge in the Morning. And it's always, yeah, it's like a morning show, and him and his guests always have cans of Surge.
Yeah.
And it's sponsored by Surge.
Yeah, and there's like a...
Because, you know, you gotta wake up, normally you gotta have your coffee. In this instance, you're getting your caffeine from the Surge that you're
drinking. Yeah, there's a refrigerator that you can see through the door behind him. It's filled with Surge.
Tons of Surge.
Surge art on the top and bottom and sides. He's got...
And him and his guests have to drink all of it.
He's got a coffee mug with the Surge logo, but then also...
They have to drink all of the Surge that's in the cooler before the end of the episode.
And there's like 800 cans.
The end of the episode is just them like vomiting. Like, no, I hate this.
And there's only one
like
guest
hot
every
ones,
episode,
but even more punishing.
Yes.
And if you zoom out, you'll see there's people with rifles pointed at them.
You must
do it.
It's like as soon as he puts the can of Surge, because there's a coffee mug filled with Surge, but then also he's got like three Surge cans right next to him, so everywhere you look it's Surge. But as soon as
the theme would be the Full House theme, but with everywhere you look there's a can of Surge. Whatever happened to predictability? 90 soda Surge went away for you and me. But what was I gonna say? I'm just imagining Serge Ibaka doing like the Stone Cold Steve Austin like 4-can beer chug.
Yeah.
Serge. You'll want to see Serge Ibaka drink 4 cans of Serge. Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Serge Ibaka. I don't know.
I don't like Serge. I like Mountain Dew.
What?
What's that?
I like that in the show, Serge Ibaka also sounds like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, Serge Stone Steve Ibaka.
Okay. So you can follow me personally on Twitter. Jake Scheidel is my name. Or you can follow Thomas on Twitter. Tom, not Tom, is his name.
Tom, not Tom, baby. Give it a follow.
You can email us for all your segment ideas for Surge on Surge at didyouwatchlastnight@gmail.com. This is really just a Surge on Surge podcast now.
Yeah, I've already Surge in the Morning. I've already got an idea for the first guest.
Okay. Gonna murder you.
And then, yeah, when he goes on, he's like, when you go on Surge in the Morning, you agree to follow the rules. As he's, like, vomiting blood from trying to drink too much Surge. Look, if you go on Surge in the Morning, you agree to have guns pointed at mm-hmm. you and to drink Surge until you die.
And he comes on and is like, hey, man, these cups are a little dirty. And Surge is like, somebody's got to drink out of them. What did you fill these
Finally
with,
Finally found
Surge?
The dirtiest job of all. licking Surge off the floor that spilled, because no drop can go on.
They have an intern, like, make sure, like, check every corner of the room to make sure all of the surge has been drank before they get to leave. It's a great show.
I love it.
All right. Email us. When you email us about Surge in the morning, sign it your pal Jeff Probst. Or your pal Serge Ibaka, if you want to say, yes, that's me. I am here for this show. You can shoot us a review. I think it's probably going to be 5 stars because the show's great. This show, I feel like, is as good as Surge in the morning is. Just overall.
I mean, of course it is. We created that
show. That's true. Everything we touch turns to gold. It's the Midas touch.
Yeah, trust it. We're very good at oil changes or whatever.
Yeah. And also, if you don't, you're required to drive to Surge in the morning set. And if you don't finish the Surge, you are required to have your oil changed, but with Surge instead of oil. It's like, if you don't want this, you're going to drink all of the Surge. All right. We've reached the end of the episode. Do you want to say the last part?
Yeah, have a great
search. Deuces. Stretch up the nets, but the couch won't stay. The nail beds rest in the calico hay. The Fiji mermaid dressed in macrame is waiting. Road in the fork and a bend in the spoon. The turn cut short at the shadow at noon. Melting like wax and that one's full moon. Waning. Air sats at an insufferable bore. The sharp shot still at the heart can soar. But doing as you please, don't please you anymore.
They make their own sodas, and they're fucking incredible. Like, I had the best cream soda I've ever had, because it wasn't super sweet, it was more creamy, it was delicious.
I just had, that was really, I don't remember, I had something the other day that, like, had a very distinct creamy flavor, but I can't remember for the life of me what it was.
Yeah, it was probably when you were sucking my dick.
You know what? Now that you bring it up, that is exactly what I was thinking about.
Yeah, no, it's... Yeah, I just couldn't put my finger on it.
Because my mouth was over the whole thing.